This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's episode is a Gary V TV classic, where Gary breaks down the four biggest lessons for anyone who started a social media brand this year. Enjoy.
How do you know, Gary, how do you know when to stop those things? I think that people are like, I don't want to stop because then I'll get out of the algorithm. Like, when do you know to take breaks on those platforms?
Or when you're not happy. You know, it's funny, even when you said hustle earlier, when I talk about work ethic, aka hustle, I talk about it from a happiness filter. I've been very sad that people have tried to bucket me into like hustle porn or burnout. I really have, because if you look at every word out of my mouth, not the energy in which I deliver it, but the words I've talked about, it's about the happiness of your process. This is a very big deal to me. So the answer to your question is when do you stop something? When you're not happy. If you're opening Twitter and you're anxious, I don't care how well you're winning on Twitter business-wise, you need to find a different relationship with a different platform or reassess your relationship with the platform. That is the main reason you should stop. The second reason is if you don't have unlimited resources and time, you need to look at the platforms that are most achieving what you want, whether that is money, whether that is happiness, hopefully happiness over money, whether that is awareness growth that you may later use for happiness, whether that's raising money for your PTA, running for mayor, selling a sneaker. You have to reverse engineer what you're about. For me, this is, again, something you know, and I keep referencing this because there's not that many people that actually know me more than what they see online. You know, the reason South By worked for me is, and you've seen it, the reason there was a secret wine party is I love people. The reason social media worked for me is I loved people. I love spending hours in comments and replying. The reason Community, the app, works for me is I like texting people. 212-931-5731. You know, and so like, I like people. So it's worked for me. But if you don't force yourself, or if the platform started off fun for you, Instagram, because it was photography, but now it's influencer life and you don't like it, you don't have to. What you have to do is force yourself to debate how happy you are. You don't have to do anything other than try to start strive for that, because it really matters.
But then if you have a company in the end, don't you need to just overcome that hump and say like, this is what I need to do to build my company?
I'm a fan of being able to create skin to deal with adversity. But I see a lot of people that have a $3 million a year business go for five and love it at three and hate it at five. What I think people need to do is try to find a financial happiness graph and then live their lives within those means. So to me, what I think a lot about is, you know, yes, there's things you have to do, but a lot of times people feel they have to do something for their business because they have a BMW and a fancy house and they want to buy a $6,000 pair of shoes. My debate in that analogy is, hey, maybe if you didn't spend money on things that are closing the gap of your happiness and actually lived within the means of a business or a job that makes you happy, and you lived within those means, maybe then you could have a very healthy circle instead of what I see a lot, which is people think success is money, and then they start buying things because they actually need those things to cover up their unhappiness, and it becomes this vicious circle. I think this is about managing your own P&L.
So what platforms should people be looking at right now and then, you know, looking out to for the next year or so or 2 years to start like investing in or, you know, putting their time into that or trends that like, so if there's platforms that come up.
Yeah. I think I've become more thoughtful in this answer. I'm pretty excited about answering this because I think I have a nice way to break it down. I want to break it down into organic and paid. When I hear what platforms should people be paying attention to, I used to answer blindly. And I didn't give I didn't answer blindly. I gave the current state, but I didn't break down this point, and I think this will help a lot of people. If you're talking about organic, not running social media ads to achieve whatever you want, then you got to talk TikTok and LinkedIn, because those are the two platforms where you can get organic reach. Every person here with no audience can go make a video, a picture, a written word, post it on those platforms and start building audience, because there's still not enough content to fill the pipes of the consumption. If you're talking ads, now you talk Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube pre-roll, Facebook's a monster, especially if you're targeting 45 to 90 year olds, Instagram stories and Instagram
90 year olds.
Well, sure, there's a lot of businesses to sell to 90 year olds.
Oh my God, are 90-year-olds even on Facebook?
90-year-olds dominate Facebook. Facebook
9-0?
Yes, 9-0, sure. One day you'll be 9-0, and you're going to want to be on the Facebook at the time because you're going to care about your granddaughter, and you're going to care about this, and you're going to care about issues and and memories and connecting with your long-lost friends from 60 years ago. Nonetheless, it's an organic and paid split, organic for everybody out there with not the means to run media. It's TikTok and LinkedIn. Media, it's really heavy. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok itself also has a great ad product. LinkedIn does as well, actually, if you're trying to sell B2B. Mm. But YouTube pre-roll, then the chasm opens up because then they all become underpriced if you really know how to media plan inside of them. Because right now, the biggest companies in the world still don't spend enough on social media platform marketing, which means the ads are underpriced in comparison to programmatic digital or print or radio or television.
Is there ever a stressed out, anxious Gary V? Like, and how do you deal with those moments? Or depressed even?
There's not a, the only time I'm stressed out, depressed, anxious businessman Gary V is when people aren't treating each other well in my organization. It kills me. Culture. That stresses the shit out of me. I got a text last night around a brush up of two employees at 10:50, and it took me 10 minutes to be, that upsets me. Getting a text that says XYZ client fired us for $1 million doesn't even register. Getting a text we didn't win the business doesn't register. The money part, fuck the money part. The happiness part. It was the same reason I was bad at candor. I don't like negativity. So I wasn't able to lead with candor. I don't like negativity around people. So when they're fighting with each other, I get upset. We need to, that's why I spend so much time on HR. I'm doing what I'm good at and what I love. There's people that don't get anxious when they ski, when they garden. There's people who don't get anxious and aren't upset and never burn out from playing tennis or golf. My love is my work. I as a kid, I shoveled snow. I washed cars. I had, you know, lemonade stands. I did baseball cards. This is the thing that people haven't connected yet. There's a group of us who just love the process of doing business. It's more, it's not about the money. It's about the game, the way people look at gardening and skiing and swimming. And
yeah, it's your flow. That's what you're saying. It's like where you find your flow.
I'll give you an example. My mother's flow is being a mother. My sister was anxious being a mother because her flow was also working, but she thought you had to stay home like my mom. Once my sister created balance between now she's a real estate agent and a mother, she's in her flow. So for my mom, being a mom 24/7 was sheer happiness, no exhaustion. For my sister, because it wasn't purity, an hour of laundry was devastating. For a lot of people that work, it's not their flow, so it's terrible. For me, it's my flow.
You mentioned that you keep an eye on anything that reduces friction or anything that makes things faster, but how do you balance this out with the growing hypotheses that human-centered design leads to harmful companies?
That I think the conversation around harmful companies is immature. I think we're in the phase right now of the demonization, you know, the social dilemma, this, that, the other thing. The reality is we are struggling with adding the second part of accountability. If you do not like what a platform is doing for you because of its lack of friction, you can unsubscribe it. I equate this conversation to alcoholism. You know, we've had a very mature, we're now very deep in alcohol culture that where now we talk about it is a disease for some people. It is, which deserves a certain way to be dealt with. However, the majority of people are capable of finding their balance. Everybody here, if they're so unhappy and insecure, can delete Instagram off their phone. When I was growing up, magazines were bad guys and girls because they were showing Kate Moss at 85 pounds and every girl was throwing up in their bathroom to look like it, right? So we were demonizing that platform. We have a very immature conversation around social networks right now where it was Nirvana when you and I were there early. Right? Utopia. Mm-hmm. Now it is this massively demonized thing. The answer is absolutely in the middle, and it centers around accountability. Like parents that allow their children to be in their room, locked in their room for 15 hours, want to blame the phone. how about you actually communicate with your child and you take time out of your day to actually have a relationship with your child instead of blaming Snapchat? You know, it's fascinating. And that's why, So what do I think? I think that people, we have this conversation around fast food. Fast food is inexpensive. It's very convenient. And our society has learned how to balance when to eat chicken nuggets and when not to. And so this notion that woe is me, this machine, these evil people behind this algorithm are ruining society. These platforms are exposing us. They're not changing us to the degree that people want. People just don't like what they see when we get unveiled.
True. And I think the more we've even held fast food companies accountable, they've even decided to step up, because if you don't call people out, they could be like, you know how it works. It's like, I just keep going.
Here's how they step up. They show you how many calories it is, which is amazing. And I'm excited about that. I'm thrilled for every social media post to say, be careful, don't use too much time. I'm thrilled if Apple wants to shut down my phone after 8 hours.
Yeah.
Except if I want to use it for 9 hours. What people right now are asking for is censorship. They don't realize it. Instead of accountability, they want government interference, or like for these companies to be held accountable. You want somebody to be held accountable? Start with your fucking self first.
And what if you've done that and then it's still a shit show? Excuse my language.
Then you go to the modern conversation. Thank God that therapy is not the stigma that it was 50 years ago.
But meaning it's still a shit show outside of you, meaning the world around you. Like,
but
you
what,
know,
I mean, always a shit show, Shira. Like, I was born in a communist country. Like, this, you know, this entitlement that the world should be like, there's always going to be stuff. We have to think about what we can do about things. You can control your household. Tobacco companies have huge warnings on them now. You know, it's about education.
Yeah. You know,
so what? Let's stop using our phones so we can just sit in front of the television. Like, you're like people, like you need to be educating that taking a hike or meditating or drinking water, like you, the information's out there. The information's out there. You have to seek it. You have to want to change.
Yeah. I mean, we can get into this also. This is like so many interesting, kind of conversations, because I agree, but I think the more it becomes the norm to ask for those things and the more people are pushing for it and leading by example, then corporate culture kind of steps in and goes, they realize they need to do it too. So it's like, it kind of works in a balance, like in a relationship, right? It needs to be symbiotic.
But corporate follows humans. If everyone becomes available, everyone talks all this talk on keyboard warriors, but their actions are different. You know, Americans are about to not vote in a week.
Vote, by the way, if you're in the US.
Who have talked nothing but unlimited amounts of shit in either the left or right direction for months and will not vote on Tuesday? The hypocrisy in human society today is laughable. Accountability will help so many people. All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Today's highlighted review is NFT Might Be the One for Me by Solami. He brings up really good points, and from the way it sounds like he could make things much easier for everyone in the future, like a Pinterest kind of social community. I'm going to do some research on it. Thanks, Gary, for the information. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.